Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mystery Babylon News Radio on October 22nd, 2013. Here's a short 2-minute introduction from a news audio file from the Rick Wiles broadcast on October 17th.
This is True News, the news program that reports the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help us God. I'm Rick Wiles. Welcome to the program. It's 1 hour of uncensored news, views, and commentary. News media didn't know what to do with an incident that happened Wednesday night in the chamber of the House of Representatives as the House was voting to increase once again the national debt ceiling. In fact, what they were voting to do was to suspend the debt ceiling. The sky's the limit. There would be no limit on President Obama's ability to borrow more money. But something happened that night around 10 p.m. House stenographer Diane Reedy walked up to the speaker's podium and spoke into the microphone. She delivered a solemn prophetic warning to the members of the U.S. Congress. She told them that God will not be mocked. She also said that the United States is controlled by Freemasons who oppose the will of God. Now, here's a soundbite of some of her words as she spoke Wednesday night from the podium of the House of Representatives.
He will not be mocked. He will not be mocked.
Don't touch me.
He will not be mocked. The greatest deception here is this is not one nation under God. It never was. Had it been, it would not have been. No. It would not have been. The Constitution would not have been written by Freemasons. They go against God. You cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve two masters. Praise be to God, Lord Jesus Christ.
Now, Diane's husband, Dan, is on the telephone right now to tell us the true story of what happened. We don't want to hear what the news media says about it. We want to hear exactly what happened. Dan Reedy, welcome to True News.
Greetings and good evening. That was the entry for tonight's broadcast. And with me, I have my two co-hosts. And from Belgium is Jurk Glisman. And from North Carolina is Wayne Michaels. Looking forward to this broadcast, and I want to, first of all, bring Mike in here to open this broadcast with a little prayer.
Good afternoon, Walter. Good afternoon, Brother York. Heavenly Father, in thy blessed eyes, grace and mercy, I pray thee through thy Son, Yeshua, you would lead us, guide us, direct us. In every step we take, in every word we speak, I pray that you open the eyes, the ears of the people out here listening. I pray that you will increase their faith as well as ours, and be all glory brought to thy name and to thyself, for you alone deserve it. Let us not become puffed up. Let us not become prideful, swelled-headed, little demigods because we're on this radio broadcast, and that alone by your grace and mercy, and let it not set us into a wicked tailspin. And let this all be for the glory of the second coming of your Son, Yeshua, which is soon to take place, Father, that almost none are really looking for. But I assure you, brother, we are looking for it. And I pray that it comes soon. And we know from the scripture in Daniel that it will be 3.5 years after they set the man of sin, the final Antichrist, the false Messiah, Pope, and God's holy named city, Jerusalem. That is the blessed hope we have and the knowledge we have, knowing that none of these preachers, pastors, bishops, priests are none speaking. Thank you, Brother Walter. Thank you, Father.
Okay. Mike, I'd like to have you start off tonight. And, you know, the comment that she made about the greatest deception here is this is not one nation under God. Had it been, it would not have been. The Constitution would not have been written by the Freemasons. Give us a little history on the Constitution and the founding of America. Just a short, brief, 2-3 minute.
Well, you know, the founding fathers, what we're standing against and for is the truth and against the lies that's being perpetrated out here by all these false leaders, so-called preachers, self-set-up teachers. These people were deists. They were Freemasons. They were Jesuit-trained. They were not in any way, and I don't even like the word Christian, Brother Walter, because to me now Christian really means Babylonian sun worship, which this whole world is under. And these broadcasts, as we proceed through time, will bring this all to light so that people can fully understand that this is Lucifer sun worship that they are all engaged in. These people were sent here by the Jesuit order. I don't want to call this man father because the scripture says call no man father, but his name was Andrew White. Him, Althan, and another Jesuit priest came aboard over here, the Ark and the Dove, in 1633. And by the time they got here, it was 1634. And, you know, the people don't realize this, but in the book The Jesuits in 1492, when Columbo come over here, Ignatius Loyola's relative was on that boat, his brother. And nobody talks about that either. But that's right out of the book, The Jesuits, by Malachi Martin. Anyway, these people were not Christian. But in my mind and eyes, truly, they are what is Christian. But in the world's understanding, they think Christian is Christ-like. And unfortunately, Satan has taken this and deceived the world through the Vatican. And you know, none seek the truth. They all have steeples on their churches, which represent sun worship. They got crosses in the churches. They have images of Mary and of homosexual Michelangelo, self-portraits that they call as Jesus. You know, they're so off-kilter and off-page and been deceived so long. These people hated God. They are God. That's their mindset. And their satanic, Luciferian, occultic followers of evil. And we are trying to bring to light every one of these people who they're calling fathers. And why, I ask you, why are they called fathers? The Bible says explicitly, call no man father. Hello. Okay. So, I give it to you, Brother Walter.
Okay, thanks, Mike. And I want you to kind of give us a little introduction on this material and refresh us a little short refreshing before I start this interview with Rick Wiles and her husband. Go ahead, Yerk.
Yeah, there has been the latest hours and the latest days have been some developments about this video that first circulated on YouTube about Diane Reedy in the Congress calling out the United States being founded by Freemasons and marked, and God will not be marked. The first video I saw, there was a video of only 1 minute. And now there are videos out there where you see much more information about that, and I think that is something that we should address tonight when we are talking here to our public, because probably not everybody has seen that yet. But it is very obvious that in that one shot that was given, that before she was going to the dais or the podium, as I call it, because the dais, I almost can't spell it, but I say podium. she went up to. Before she went up there, she was talking to a man with gray hair. She was just sitting there, had her stenographer stuff all around there, writing stuff and everything, and she was just in a normal conversation. And then she talked to that guy, and then he nodded, very obviously, two times. And then she stood up and walked like a robot, turned around and walked like a robot up to the podium where she gave that speech. And what she said there is not caught by the microphones, because you can see that she's talking, but you cannot hear anything. The tone is absolutely muted. And then she's been taken away by two persons and brought in front to an elevator. And then all of a sudden, you have that people, the two people who are holding microphones on there. So then you hear, what she's saying. That will not be marked, and the Constitution is written by Freemasons, and you cannot serve two masters.
Right, but York, one thing,
same,
don't forget,
yeah,
she hollered, they hollered, Holly, Holly. Very important.
Yeah, that's also something. When the elevator came up, because they were standing in front of the elevator, and when the elevator went open, they were calling the woman in the elevator from Holly, get out of there, Holly. And that woman right came out of there. You can see that in one of these videos, that the woman is coming out of the elevator, and then they go with Diane inside the elevator. So that's probably why she called it Holly. I mean, it comes from that video. I mean, this is something that hasn't been on in the first place. That's what I mean. Now you have a video of about 6 or 7 minutes, and the first one was only about a minute where they stated that, you know? So I think that Holly is maybe in that point. But, you know, the most interesting thing that I found out in this video is somebody that made a comment on there, said that even the guy in the white hair that was nodding to her before she just turned around and like a robot went to that podium up there, that he is being identified as Virginia State Representative James Patrick Moran, Jr. He's a U.S. representative for Virginia's 8th Congressional District. And if you go to the Wikipedia page about him, you will see that he is an alumni of College of the Holy Cross, a Jesuit school.
There you go.
And right after he nodded and she went off, he turned around, bowed down to his cell phone, and was probably sending a text message. So
right.
She went up to the podium and did her speech, and all the while she did that, I mean, a lot of people then looked at her, of course, because, no, it's not that normal that somebody just walks up there and does a speech. He was just busy with his telephone, as if he knew what was going to happen.
Very suspicious. Yeah.
I do not know if this is the Virginia State Representative James Patrick Jim Moran Jr., as identified in this video here once, because there's also another name that's popped up.
Listen, we're getting down where we have a time element here. I want to start.
I would just like to say this. I believe that's a Manchurian candidate, just like Columbine, just like Virginia Tech was. I believe that's played right out, and I think it's so obvious that people, man, are just really sleeping.
Yeah, well, I absolutely agree, because when you see the way that she goes up to that podium, she is not herself. She walks like a robot.
Absolutely not.
Yes.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely.
I agree 100%.
And you can see that on the video. There's no doubt about that. And that is absolutely Manchurian candidate artist like, yeah.
Okay,
to hear exactly what happened. Dan Reed, welcome to True News.
Thank you, Rick. So good to be here.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, Dan, I was preparing to leave my home Thursday morning, and we had Fox Television, Fox News Channel, playing there on the TV set. And
when it comes to that TV, everything that you see coming over mass media is scripted. If they don't want you to see it, you're not going to see it. It is controlled. It's all controlled.
And as I was just getting ready to go out the door, they showed a clip of your wife Diane, and of course they didn't play any of the sound bites of what she said, but they gave a few hints of what she said. And I just sat there on my sofa. I sat down on the sofa and I was quiet, and I
looked at my wife, who had walked into the room to see what was going on, and I said to Susan, I said, honey, when it reaches the point that God has an employee of the House of Representatives prophesy.
Now, I think it's real important that we realize what has happened and that we don't follow any false assumptions. The question is Diane Reedy a prophet?
Then I know that judgment on this nation is very, very close. And I took the entire message very, very seriously. I knew that something very serious had taken place, and few people were spiritually perceiving what had taken place in the Florida House. Of course, the media was just blowing it off, you know, as something odd, bizarre had happened. So I'm very appreciative of the fact that you are you've been willing to come onto the program and talk to us and tell us what happened. So let's start. First of all, you and Diane, do you live in the metropolitan Washington area? Are you in Northern Virginia or Maryland? Or
We live in Maryland. Yeah, we're just south of Washington D.C. in Maryland.
All right, so you're in Southern Maryland. Okay, Annapolis in that area, or?
Oh no. We're in actually an area called Fort Washington.
Okay, I know Fort Washington.
Just outside the Beltway.
Yeah, I know Fort Washington. Used to visit the National Church of God there.
Yes, that's our church.
You go to National Church of God?
Now they establish that they have something in common.
I knew.
Yes, sir.
Brother T.L. Lowry.
Oh, yes. Yes, sir. His son is taking over now, and Stephen Lowry and... Jan Lowry, and
really?
They're doing a wonderful job, and we feel very blessed to be there.
All right, yeah, it's a wonderful church, and I've known T.L. Lowry for many, many years. He's down in Cleveland, Tennessee these days, and in fact, I was hoping to get him on the program pretty soon. He's a wonderful saint of God. Okay, so now I know a little bit more about you. I know spiritually... where you're coming from, and so the job of stenographer, I assume that Diane's responsibility was to write down and record everything that was being said on the floor of the House that would go into the congressional record. Is that basically what she does?
Yes, Rick, that's right. She's one of seven that rotate on a basic 10 to 15 minute basis, and they're responsible for everything that's spoken on the floor and on the from the speaker, and they're actually trained to convert it into the parliamentary conversation of the 1700s, is my understanding. So, in other words, it's not just taken down as verbatim, but it's taken down in to match the way it was with our founding fathers.
That's interesting. So it's a very important job historically, because the stenographers are charged with the responsibility of recording precisely what is said.
Exactly, and what they record becomes the record that is used. You know, to go back, we can go back to our founding fathers, as far as I know.
Now, the term founding fathers. This is a very interesting terminology. You see, it wasn't the founding, the terminology founding fathers was not used until 1916. This is when President Harding, using the term founding fathers for the first time, when he said, "We ought to be as genuinely American today as when the founding fathers flung their immortal defiance in the face of the old world oppressions and dedicated a new republic to the principles of liberty and justice." The old world oppressions. Who is that? That was Rome. Also, the founding fathers were called framers in those days. They were not called founding fathers.
Correct.
Because in the Bible it says in Matthew 23:9, and call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Now, the reason the framers didn't use the terminology fathers is because at the founding of this country, there was 99% Protestant and less than 1% Catholic. They didn't use the word fathers because it referred to Catholic priests. Now, why is this important to interject this right here? Because if you go to our, every Sunday we have a broadcast, and we've started out covering the founding of America. When they use the terminology founding fathers, we know what side of the fence they are. They teach the same thing that David Barton teaches, that the founding fathers were Christian. And it's just not true.
And there would be a record of their words. And so everybody who speaks is bringing their ideas and their thoughts and their opinions and placing it in the record for that very purpose.
You know, as we're talking about this, the thought is occurring to me that it's interesting that God chose the stenographer.
We have to ask this question to ourselves, so we don't act on a false premise. Did God choose Diane?
Who records
yes.
what is said. He chose the stenographer to speak the message in the house.
Yes.
And I'm also wondering, I'm assuming that her words have been recorded and will have to be entered into the record.
That I'm not aware of. I wouldn't know that.
But, well, think about it. I mean, legally...
Yes.
Legally, her words would have to be recorded because they were spoken from the podium.
Yes, her words were recorded. But do they have to be recorded and written down in the congressional records?
That's an interesting point.
It might also be depending on when in the matter of the record they were spoken. In other words, I think it was either at the conclusion or after a vote. So until the speaker, the speaker's in charge of everything, and until maybe they open it up by recognizing a certain speaker, there may not be anything that would be recorded prior to that.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
I wouldn't know that.
But I do think it's interesting that God chose the stenographer who records for history.
Again, we have to be very careful that we don't act on a false premise. Did God choose Diane?
Historical purposes, that she was chosen to deliver this message. Well, let's talk about, first of all, let's talk about your wife, Diane. Give us a brief understanding of who you are as a family, husband, wife, children.
Okay, Diane is, she was born in Long Island, and she went to college in Manhattan to be a court reporter and moved to Washington, D.C. soon after that. And she's actually, after several years of being a independent reporter, doing basically depositions, contract work around the city, she got a job at D.C. Superior Court and was there for about 10 years doing civil and criminal trials in the Superior Court system. And that weighed really heavily on her because it's a lot of, you know, when you're dealing with murder cases and all the details and everything, you know, after a while that can be
very depressing.
Pretty heavy, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So she, right after we had met and got married, she got a job at the House of Representatives and started out in committees, which you have committees for all the different appropriations and defense and that sort of thing. And so she would write on a daily basis for them. And then kind of as a perk or a promotion, she was promoted to the floor where she...
Let's stop and slip into the shoes of Diana. Can you imagine working on the floor of the House of Representatives and see all this corruption? Look at how corrupt the government has become. I mean, it is over our heads. I'm 69 years old. And when my grandfather was still alive, we hadn't killed babies. We've killed over 40 million babies. Look at the atrocities that this country has been involved in. I mean, and to work right on the floor of the House of Representatives? So let's give her a little bit of a break when we're listening to this. She has been around a lot of corruption.
She became a floor reporter, and that's really what she loved is... If you ever watch C-SPAN, you see the reporters on the floor there. There's at least one and sometimes two, depending on where they are in the record. So it was a job that Diane loves, and she has such a tremendous respect for the Congress and the decorum of the House and the tradition. And so... doing what she did, you know, really went against her sense of right, you know, in terms of bringing a disruption to the floor.
Mm-hmm. And how many years did she work for the House, starting with the committees until she became a floor reporter?
I think it's about eight to 9 years.
All right, so she's got a long track record working inside the Capitol.
Oh yes.
It's not like she's a temporary that they brought in, to work at night.
No. In fact, the grouping that's there with the officers and the men and women in security and the people who work for the clerk and all the different positions that are there are a very close-knit group because they work together on a daily basis. And she's actually got to be, you know, to a certain extent, you can only be so friendly with, you know, the men and women of Congress. Wonderful group of people there, and I'm not ashamed to say at all.
That's a 14-minute clip. I have another a 9-minute clip here, but Mike, do you have any comments for the first 13 minutes there?
I would like to say one thing here, Walt, and read a little bit of the scripture. You haven't brought to the point yet, but it's coming up next, which lays out her husband calling her a prophet. And that's blasphemy. Plain and short and sweet. It says here, and as they departed, Yeshua began to say unto the multitudes concerning John the Baptist, what went you out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went you out to see? A man clothed and soft raiment. Now, we know who wears all that soft raiment, don't we? Scarlet and purple. Now, behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. And certainly they control all the kings of the planet, so hello. But what went you out to see? A prophet? Yes. And I say unto you, more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. And verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there has not been risen a greater than John the Baptist. And notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. And here is a scripture I want to put into mind and into people's hearts, talking about prophets and all these people that are so-called prophets. The scripture says, for all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you will receive it, this is Elijah, which was to come. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. And that comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 11 and verse 13. I just wanted to read that. Thank you, Walter.
Yurk, could you like to make a couple comments of what you just heard?
Well, all the things we've heard so far and the things that we can make our mind up is that there's something that was planned. I think that is no coincidence that it happened, like her husband wants to make us to believe. But I heard that interview also with his husband, and in the beginning he said something about that she has been the last 4 weeks or 4 weeks ago, she started being very faithful to God, praying more than usually and all that stuff. Like she was getting a sign.
And secretive.
Yeah, very secretive.
Yes.
Exactly. Secretive, yeah. So I couldn't remember all the words, but you're right. You're right. And then he said something like that she had to do it so that she, that God called her to do that, and I do not believe that. It was not called by God. She was not called by God. I think she was called by she was a mind control victim.
Yep.
But I think more important than talking about that, if she was a mind control victim, yes or no, who did it, we have to ask ourselves, who will gain from that, and what is the agenda behind that?
Yes.
Because like all the false flags that we have seen the last few years in America, with this Aurora shooting, with the Sandy Hook hoax, with the Boston Marathon hoax, now with this woman in
the Beltway shooter
who drove her car into the fence of the White House there.
Right.
There was
the Beltway
all
shooter.
False flags. Yeah, yeah. The shooter there in Washington. Yeah, sorry, I forgot that one. But we have really to ask ourselves, what are they gaining with that, and what is it going to? So I want to bring your attention to a little thing that was said on Fox Television, if I can find it right here, because I made it here.
Say, listen, you get that, and as soon as I got one more clip I want to get in, I want to start that. It's part two, some of what you just spoke of, Yurk. So I'm going to start this right now, and you can comment as soon as this is over.
Okay.
Very highly there.
I could tell in some of the media reports that even though the reporters were confused, they didn't know really how to handle what happened, and they were using words like bizarre, strange, all that kind of stuff. Yet in their reports, they acknowledged that your wife, Diane, is highly regarded by the members of Congress and the staff, and that she was described as a very kind, loving, stable, religious woman, and you know, some of the people were saying, well, maybe it was just the stress of all this tension going on in Washington. Maybe that's what happened. But I noticed that there was almost a sympathetic viewpoint towards your wife. And so I knew by just reading those comments, okay, this is a very well-liked woman. And so this has caught the Congress off guard. They can't figure this one out.
Exactly. She's a woman of integrity and honesty, and she has a very sweet spirit, and she loves the Lord, and, you know, you see Jesus in her eyes. And
remember President Bush, when he was asked by a reporter, when he looked into the Pope's eyes, what he's seen?
You said famously, when you looked into Vladimir Putin's eyes, you saw his soul.
Yeah.
When you look into Benedict XVI's eyes, what do you see?
God.
When you look into Benedict XVI's eyes, what do you see?
God.
I think when we hear statements like this, that we really have to test the spirits and use our discernment that God has given us.
So God, you know, he went right to the, I mean, she's my wife and I love her and I got nothing to do with that. He picked the cream of the crop as far as I'm concerned in his decision to bring forth this word through her.
Then when did this stirring of the Holy Spirit start in Diane?
Well, I'm just kind of all learning this because.
Notice he says that he's just learning this. Well, this is the reason for this broadcast, is for us to just sit back, listen to what's being said, and see if there's anything else that might be in this message.
I mean, I knew she was going through something, and she really felt in her spirit that she wasn't to share it with anybody, and she was to keep it to herself. So I was kind of in the dark as what was going on, and I really kind of felt that, you know, God was doing something in her, and I didn't know more than to just pray for her, you know, at that point.
So this is, this isn't something that you and her were sitting around the dinner table saying, and she was saying, you know, Dan, one of these days I'm going to go in there, and I'm just going to go off on them and tell them something.
No, no. I received a call last night when I was asleep, and that this had taken place, and I was, as I'd have to say, originally shocked, you know, as anybody else who knows Diane, by what had taken place.
What was your first reaction?
Well, it was, somebody said, you know, she walked up on the dais and started speaking, and she was removed, and I said, what? I mean, I just couldn't even picture it, you know, and it wasn't long after I got a call from Fox News.
She got a call from Fox News. You know, you just don't get a call from Fox News until it's something big. And who controls and owns Fox News? It's Rupert Murdoch, a Knight of Malta.
And, you know, then it all just kind of, you know, there's something on TV, and, you know, then there was a couple other calls, and this is at 11 o'clock at night, you know, and I'm a pretty good sleeper, so when I hit the sack, I was out, and, you know, to be woken up and then just be dealing with all this, it was kind of almost surreal, you know.
So all you know is your wife was at work at the Capitol, as usual. They're having a late-night session. She's working late at night, as usual, and you're asleep, and you get a phone call telling you that your wife took control of the microphone and spoke something, and next thing you know, you've got news networks calling you.
Exactly. Now, let me, in saying that, you know, I didn't know what was going on, but I knew something was going on, because for what Diane said was 4 weeks prior to this, God had been working on her and basically gave her, and I don't want to use the wrong word, but I believe that she had an understanding that he wanted her to share something, and she was naturally fighting it. I mean, she loves this place. And, you know, people don't get up and do that. So it was a breaking of her words, a breaking or a squeezing over the next 4 weeks. What I kind of likened, and not in any, you know, to what Jesus went through in Gethsemane, and what I think we all go through when God gets us to a place to say, you know what, it's not going to be your will, it's going to be my will. If you're a follower of me, you're going to do what I command of you to do.
We just have to sit back and, you know, that God had been moving on her for 4 weeks, and this was all new to him, her husband. I just think before we act on an assumption or a false premise, we need to look at the truth and the error that's in this event.
And so that's the real lordship test, you know, the salvation part. We're saved by grace. We thank you, Lord. But now, you know, pedal to the metal, you know, let's live this thing out with the lordship. And so
when did you first know that the Holy Spirit was convicting her to do something?
Well, I didn't know what was taking place, but what was happening was Diane was waking up throughout the night, and she would go downstairs from our bedroom and just get into the Word of God. And she would read for a couple hours and then fall asleep, and then she would wake up again and be in the Word of God. And that's, Rick, that is so of God, at least in our home, because, you know, none of us get up at 3 a.m. and get into the Word of God.
Well, you know, I've got up at 3:30 in the morning more than once, and maybe not every time, but I've picked up a book, read a little bit. But I have got up at 3:30 and read the Bible.
God unless it's the Holy Spirit that's leading us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We're heavy sleepers. When we sleep, we sleep well. You know what I mean? So we're not light sleepers that go because we can't sleep. And so this is very out of the ordinary in terms of for Diane for this to take place. And that's what was happening. And what God was doing through his word and through just speaking to her heart is he was preparing her that she is going to do this. And it was basically a battle of the wills, as we all do when, you know, when something's laid before us that, you know, that, well, God, don't you want somebody else to do this? You know, that sort of thing. So I say for 4 weeks she was kind of in this inner struggle and inner battle. And I would know that she wasn't in bed and she was downstairs and, you know, and she was going through something, but she wasn't sharing, and I had no idea, you know, what was taking place.
No, I think he's being perfectly honest. He had no idea what was going on.
But there was a lot of emotion involved in it, and there was emotion in her, and I could, you know, she was crying, and you know, she was dying to self and to, you know, what she wanted to do and what she didn't want to do as she finally was obedient to the Lord. So that was kind of a precursor and a build-up to what actually took place the other night.
Okay, you'd like to make some comments on that?
Yes, I'd like to make some comments on that because I think what I said before, we first of all have to ask ourselves, what is this going to? So he says that he got a telephone from Fox News, and I saw a clip from Fox News with this moderator, Megyn Kelly. I guess you all know this blonde prostitute from Fox News. And in that clip about Diane Reading, she says, quote, "You have to ask about the security measures, and only the ones are made public," end quote. The sentence goes on a little bit. I can read the rest of the sentence because I wrote it down. So it's about security measures. Mm-hmm. And that's like all the stuff that we have with all these false flags, where it is all about the Second Commandment and the right to bear arms. And here it is about, you have to ask about the security measures, and only the ones are made public. That baffled me a little bit. What do you think about that sentence?
Yes, and I want to bring up the word psyops. That's a psychological operation. It's short for psychological operations, and the military uses that. But it's we've been under psychological warfare in this country this country has been bombarded in the last 60, 70 years, and this is just another part of psychological warfare. Anyway, we're down to 40. We got another 3 minutes. So you comment, Mike?
Yes, I think it's just seeding the same old scenario that the TV is putting out here about Freemasonry being the top of the, not for better choice of words, pyramid sitting on the back of the dollar bill, which really is implementing setting the Pope up in Jerusalem as God's final 3.5 years of this planet Earth. And unfortunately, nobody understands any of that, and the Jesuits are at the top of this and not Freemasonry. Unless you call it high Freemasonry, 32nd, 33rd. All the lower under that, they have no clue what's going on. And they can read Manly Hall's own writings to see that. And Albert Pike's writings also. So you know, they both depict who they worship, Satan. So
yes. And this is another way of depicting Christians as wackos. And
yep.
The way this is presented, anybody with two neurons running can put two and two together and realize it's, this causes a distraction and a discredit. It discredits the true Christian and believer of Messiah. Well, we're down to the last minute.
Yeah, that's one thing that I'd like to say, Mr. Walt, if I may.
1 minute. We got 1 minute here to go.
Yeah, it's very fast. I just want to say, if she really was called by God to do that, she would turn around and put her arms up And to the left of the right, to the left and the right of the American flag in the House of Congress, there is a fasci, an old Roman fascist symbol. And she would have turned to that, and she would have exposed that, that there are fasci symbols, and
okay,
that the Jesuits are behind it, and not the Freemasons.
Okay, we're out of time, I believe. And